Hello again, it's 34 Russell with Patrick Kelly bringing you Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Tanner Gardner was a latecomer and late bloomer to the sport of wrestling, but when he took off, he took off. The 2003 Shawnee Heights grad was a two-time undefeated state champion and earned three All-American finishes at Fargo, including a national title in Junior Greco in 2002. He headed west to Stanford University, where he became one of the most accomplished wrestlers in the program's history, which we hope is not history. He earned three All-American honors for the Cardinal and racked up 145 career wins. His credentials earned him a place on the Pac-12 All-Century Wrestling Team, and in 2019, he was selected to the Stanford Athletics Hall of Fame. After graduating from one of the most prestigious universities in the country, he jumped on a plane and headed from Pacific Coast to Atlantic to pursue his MBA at another giant in the prestigious universities category, Harvard. While there, he also served as assistant wrestling coach. Gardner has been at Rice University in Houston since 2014, where he serves as Senior Associate Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer. Tanner Gardner joins Airtime on the line from sultry Houston. Mr. Gardner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I'm honored to be joining you.
All right. Well, I tell you, I was going through the Fargo guide that I normally put together at this time, just kind of reminiscing and going through it. And I'm really glad to get you on. And I don't know why I didn't think to get you on earlier, because you really have some Fargo credentials that I think can we want to honor, and I think can help inspire other kids as well. So I'm really, really honored to have you on.
Yeah, good to be here. Fargo is one of my greatest memories.
Well, so let's get the elephant in the room out of the way. Stanford recently announced that wrestling, along with 10 other sports, will be dropped after the 2020-21 academic year. You are in a unique position in that you are in athletic administration at a D1 school, Rice University. How surprised were you when you became aware of the announcement, and what are your thoughts on the situation?
Sure. I mean, I describe my reaction as shocked, but maybe not surprised. Certainly a devastating decision to me personally, and for all the student athletes that are currently part of the program, I really feel for them. So that's really why I feel the feeling of shock. You know, on the other hand, you know, I hate to say I'm not surprised. I think college athletics is, you know, facing just an incredibly difficult time right now with the disruption caused by COVID-19. I think the backdrop to that, though, is significant rises in spending, where revenue hasn't always kept up. And so I think, you know, many college athletic departments are coming to a financial choke point right now and may have to make difficult decisions soon. So, you know, I'm in the position of understanding the difficulties that college athletic program faces, while at the same time being personally devastated and shocked at such a decision.
Yeah, well, I have several other questions, and we could probably spend an entire episode on that topic, but we're here to talk about your career on the mat. You have a unique but not unheard of path to the sport of wrestling. Your hoop dreams were dashed when you were cut from basketball in seventh grade, as I understand, and you weren't able to say no to Coach Gons. Like, I don't think anybody's able to say no to Coach Gons. So the rest is history. When did the sport take hold and become your main focus?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what's interesting is, you know, many wrestlers, as folks who will listen to this know, start when they're 5 years old or earlier, and, you know, they build their career, refine their craft, and, you know, get better equally over time. You know, my story's a little different. I didn't start wrestling until I was about in the seventh grade. And as you mentioned, I got cut from the basketball team and was crying in the locker room. And Bob Gonzalez, the middle school PE teacher, told me I should come out for wrestling. And so here we are today, and the rest is history. I think I started having some success pretty quickly in wrestling, but, you know, probably wasn't until my sophomore year of high school where I really realized that it could be something more than just something I pursued at the high school level. I think it might have been an experience in Fargo. My sophomore year was a year when I thought I could have some success there and ended up fracturing and dislocating my elbow, which ended that season. And I think that really set me on a path I realized there was potential, and I knew that I could do more. And, you know, as I rehabbed my elbow and came back my junior year of high school, really doubled down on my investment and focus in wrestling, and had a lot of success my junior year in high school, and then ultimately at Fargo was able to win the Greco national title that year, which is a great memory for me.
And, you know, I understand that, that wrestling was not part of your family's background before you got into it. Is that the case?
Yeah, it's correct. I mean, my parents are both athletic, but neither of them had any interaction with the sport of wrestling. My dad is a basketball player. Both of my parents were triathletes. My older brother did some wrestling before I did. But, you know, one of the great things about the sport of wrestling is it doesn't matter how big you are. Anyone can do it. It's weight class bounded. And so my family's pretty small, as you know. And so it's a sport that I could really succeed at. And so, you know, I think it fits my personality too. We have type A intense personalities in my family. And I think that's the type of personality that thrives in the sport of wrestling.
You know, and that's kind of my follow-up question is specifically to the sport of wrestling. Was it wrestling, or would you have been successful in really gotten into debate or music or some other kind of activity, do you think? Or was it something unique about wrestling that just really captured your focus?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I think I have a personality that wants to be really successful in whatever I do. But I think wrestling is a really unique sport and endeavor where, you know, you are the one who creates your success or failure to some extent. You know, when you get out on the mat, there, you know, you win, you lose. There's one person to point at the end, and that's not the referee. It's yourself. And you control your destiny. And so I think it's a sport where what you put in is what you get out. And I don't know that there are many things in life that really work that linearly. And so I think wrestling, you know, is a, you know, it's a more extreme case of personal responsibility where what you do is, you know, what you put in is what you get out.
Did you participate in other sports growing up besides wrestling?
You know, growing up, I did probably what all kids did. I played baseball, basketball, soccer. You know, I'm a decent enough athlete, but I never really excelled at those sports per se. I also played golf in high school for a couple of years. I ended up stopping playing my junior year when I really focused in on wrestling now.
So an objective of this podcast is to bring awareness of the Olympic styles of USAWKS and encourage coaches and athletes to give it a try. How did your participation in the Olympic styles during middle school and high school benefit your career? And talk about the friendships and other connections that happened as a result of your involvement.
Yeah, I mean, a cheesy phrase that you often see on wrestling t-shirts, but it's very true, is summer wrestling makes winter champions. And I couldn't believe in that phrase more. You know, if you compete just during the year, then how do you expect to get better than many people? You might put in some more hours, so that's certainly one source of competitive advantage. But if you do the exact same thing as everyone else does, you can't expect to get better, particularly in a sport where I don't think natural talent is necessarily what makes you most successful. I think wrestling is one of those sports where hard work is by and large what makes you, hard work and discipline is what makes you successful. And so you can exercise your hard work and discipline in the summer. And if when you're doing that, no one else is, that is precisely the time when you went ahead, when you got ahead. And I think, you know, when I was in high school, I would often finish high school practice and then, you know, go to a trainer or Kansas City for a wrestling club after practice to get a little more work in, sometimes even in the Olympic styles. And one day my senior year, my teammate asked me, why are you going to another practice? You're already a state champion. I said, well, my goal is not to be a state champion. My goal is to be a national champion. And I think I didn't win a national title because I was more talented than anyone else. You know, I believe I won a national title because I worked harder than everyone else. And whether that's true or not, I believed I did. And belief is very powerful in a sport like wrestling.
Talk a little bit about your college selection, your college recruiting. You were very successful, obviously, in the state of Kansas, and then even on the national level. That, coupled with your success in the classroom, made you a really valuable commodity to really any school across the country. So talk a little bit about, you know, where your mind was and what you wanted to do with your college career, and what schools you had your list narrowed down to before finally selecting Stanford.
Sure. So, I mean, like I said, I really didn't particularly focus in on wrestling until my sophomore and junior year. And so, you know, to be honest, I didn't really see it as a potential career. or something that I would pursue after high school. But, you know, I think it really was Fargo that opened my eyes. I think Kansas wrestling is great. But Fargo is really what opened my eyes to, you know, the notion that there might be more beyond just wrestling in high school. And I think the success that I had at Fargo for the Junior Nationals and Freestyle and Greco-Roman, and then also the Field of Junior Nationals, I think is one, what opened my eyes to the possibility of wrestling after high school, and two, what got me recruited. I mean, I think you have to realize that, you know, there's 85 Division One wrestling programs, and they're rostering, you know, 30 individuals each. And so, you know, there's only 2,500 slots, divide that by four. You know, you're talking 600 to 700 slots a year for thousands of wrestlers. And frankly, there are probably more state champs than 600 to 700. So being a state champ alone is not enough. And so exerting yourself at a level outside of just high school, in this case, freestyle and Greco-Roman, I think is really what differentiates you. And honestly, that's what ultimately got me recognized because, I, like you said, I was a late bloomer. I wasn't necessarily an incredibly successful wrestler, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. I had some success, but certainly not at a level that would get me recruited by college. And so I think that's really what got me to the next step of getting recruited by colleges. And so, you know, after I, you know, won the Nationals, I guess that would have been in 2002, I started getting letters from a number of colleges. And I started getting letters from colleges that I knew existed but never thought that I could go to. I was always a good student, but certainly not the type of student who would go to a Stanford or a Harvard on their own. And so, you know, when I got these letters from the high academic schools, I thought, wow, this is an opportunity for me to kind of go beyond my academics, where my academics alone would take me. And I think, you know, the top 25 schools or the top 10 schools like Stanford and Harvard, you know, on one hand, you have to be a good student. But on the other hand, they're looking for people who are experts in their field beyond just academics. So you could be a great musician. You could be a great scientist. In my case, I happened to be a great wrestler. And so, you know, the colleges that I ultimately looked at were Brown, Columbia, Stanford, and then University of Missouri. University of Missouri being kind of the local school. Obviously, Kansas doesn't have Division I wrestling. And so that was one that I certainly wanted to look at to stay near home. But ultimately, I saw the opportunity to go to Stanford as something that would change my life. It was a program that was on the rise. And, you know, the notion that I could pursue academic excellence and athletic excellence simultaneously was something that I ultimately decided was most important for me. And, you know, I thought it would change my life, and it, in fact, did change my life.
So you made the most of your four trips to the NCAA championships. I'd like to do a brief year-by-year recap and get your thoughts as you reflect. So as a true freshman in 2004, you qualified. You went 0-2. Talk a little bit about that tournament in 2004.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate that the NCAA tournament the year before was in my home state of Kansas. So when I knew I was going to be wrestling in college, I got to go experience the NCAA tournament for the first time and get a taste of what it was like. And by the way, I've been to a lot of great sporting events, and I think the NCAA wrestling tournament is the greatest sporting event around. Encourage anyone to go to it if you haven't been. It's tremendous. But, you know, that year in St. Louis, 2004, I, you know, really qualified just kind of by a thread, ended up beating Christian Staley for 5th and 6th, the Pac-12 tournament. Really didn't know what to expect when I went there. You know, I ended up 23-17 that year, so I was a good wrestler, not a great wrestler, and had a good experience at the tournament. I wrestled Mike Mormile from Cornell first round. He beat me close match, and then I ended up having to wrestle Matt Valeni second. Valeni was a high seed who had gotten upset. He beat me in double overtime, knocked me out of the tournament. He ended up going on to win a national title, so I guess nothing to be ashamed about. But I would say 2004 really taught me what it would take to be successful at the NCAA tournament, because qualifying for it is one thing, but being successful at it is a whole other level.
Okay, so in 2005, you took a redshirt year. Talk just a little bit about that. You know, at Stanford, was it more of your choice to take a redshirt? Was it due to injuries, or just where you thought would be best to prepare you for the rest of your career?
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of things. It was a little bit for the team and a little bit for my personal development. I actually didn't intend to wrestle my first year, but due to an injury to what was then a senior, I ended up getting thrown in the lineup. That senior redshirted and then came back the next year. He had been a previous NCAA qualifier. So it was better for the team to give him a chance, and it was also good for me to get a year of development. I knew from the previous year what I needed to work on, having been to the NCAA tournament. And so it was great for me to focus a year primarily on just training. Wrestled in some open tournaments and actually focused a lot on freestyle and Greco-Roman as well. But saw that as a year of development, and it ended up being a very good year for me of just training and really improving.
All right, so that really sets a stage then for those final 3 years where really you had, like I say, one of the most successful careers ever for a Stanford wrestler. So in 2006, the Nationals are in Oklahoma City. You came in as a 12th seed and came out with an 8th place finish. What was the experience like finally earning All-American honors?
It was great. I mean, I either lost to Troy Nickerson or Paul Dono on the front side, and it was a round of 32 or the round of 16 where I lost. And so, I had to come back. And I think, besides probably wrestling in the finals, I think the greatest round of the NCAA tournament is the blood round, as we call it, which is the match that if you win, you become an All-American, and if you lose, you go home. And so that was my first of 3 years wrestling in the blood round. I wrestled Luke Smith from Central Michigan. He had actually beat me earlier in the year at the Midlands, but, analyzing the film on that match, I knew that was a match that I could win. And I ended up beating Luke pretty handily. Really just wrestled one of my best matches of the year, beat Luke Smith, and by winning that match, I secured All-American status and will never forget it. Just a tremendous moment in my wrestling career.
All right, 2007, Auburn Hills, Michigan. You were the third seed, so you had high respect. Both your junior and senior year, you had awesome record going into the national tournament. You were the third seed, came out with the 7th place finish. You beat Iowa's Charlie Flock for 7th and 8th place by fall. You lost to the champion, Donahue of Nebraska in the quarters, and lost to current Indiana head coach, Angel Escobedo, in the Conseil quarters. Of note in that tournament, Tyler McCormick, Blue Valley North, was 6th at 133 for Mizzou. Eric Ludke, Colby High, was 3rd for the University of Iowa at 174, and future NCAA champion Jordan Lean, who was born in Garden City where he spent his toddler years, was 8th for Cornell. That was, a very good year for Kansas and a very good year for any state. To have a couple All-Americans, I always like to look at that recap of the NCAA tournament and see how many All-Americans came from the different states. So 4 from one state, or even 3 if you don't include Lean, is really a good year for Kansas. So what made the 2007 NCAA tournament memorable for you?
Well, certainly coming back and improving on my finish the previous year was a positive. I feel like I could have done a little better that year, but still I think to secure a second All-American was positive for me. And, I think all in all that year was a little better. I think the interesting thing about the NCAA tournament is that the NCAA tournament is a tournament of margins. I think, of the 32 individuals in each bracket, there's probably 10 people could win it on any given day. And so you could have the best training, the best preparation, but at the end of the day, sometimes it's just who has the best match, or if things go your way, determine whether you're a national champion or even 0-2. And, on one hand, I felt like I could have done better that year. But on the other hand, I came away having improved one spot, and so felt pretty happy about that.
All right, so now your senior year, 2008, in St. Louis. You came in as a number 4 seed, finished in a solid 5th place. From Iowa, Charlie Flock again beat you in the quarters, and then you handled him 8-2 in the 5th to 6th place match. Most memorable for me, as I was there that year, was your victory over a freshman from Arizona State University in the blood round in overtime. That freshman turned out to be pretty good. In fact, you prevented him from becoming a 4-time All-American. He is well-known NCAA champion Anthony Robles, who captured the nation's attention when he won the 2011 NCAA title despite having only one leg. I happened to have a good viewing position for that match in the corner, and I recall and remember you looked more relieved than happy after winning that battle. What was it like to wrestle Robles, in his unusual style in such a big match? Also, what was it like earning a victory over Flock in the final match of your career after getting beat by him in the quarters?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly was a wild ride of events. I'll back up just one match. You know, like I said before, the NCAA wrestling tournament's a tournament of margins. You know, I had wrestled Charlie Falk three or four times in my career prior to that quarterfinals match, and I never lost to him. Our styles matched up such that it was good for me. I was winning 4-2 going into the third period, and, you know, kind of my MO was if I was winning going into the third period, then I rarely lost. He chose neutral. You know, it was perfect for what I was looking for. I shot in, got in on a single leg, and he got across my throat in a legal way, that knocked me out. He took me down, and he ended up with 1 minute of riding time at the end of the match. And so I lost 5-4. I was really stunned, and I couldn't believe I had lost that match.
Wow.
And so, it was really disappointing on one hand, but at the other hand, I feel like I wrestled my best. And like I said, sometimes things don't go your way. Well, you know, sure enough, my next match is against fan favorite and a great person, Anthony Robles, once again in the blood round. I had wrestled Anthony, I think, two times prior to that, most recently in the Pac-12 championships. And so I had a good sense of how to wrestle against him in the right strategy. You know, Anthony was one of those wrestlers where, you know, I would always say that I would, no matter anyone else's style, I would enforce my style on them. But Anthony is one of those people you cannot do that to. With him only having one leg and the upper body of a 157-pounder, you had to adapt your style to him. That was obviously a very close match. It was, I think, 3-3 or 1-1 at the end of regulation. Went to overtime. You know, everyone was cheering for him, and maybe just a couple of people were cheering for me, and that's okay and reasonable. But I kind of channeled it in my mind that everyone was cheering for me and wanted me to win that match. And in overtime, snapped him down, spun around, and did a move that we practiced all the time that we knew could beat him, and we had a good strategy. And I won that match, and I think probably relieved is the right way to say it. You know, I think I just felt fortunate that I achieved my third All-American honor, something that no one in Stanford history had ever done. And for me, it wasn't as much as the fact that I had personally achieved it, but I think it was really rich and meaningful for me to do that for the program of Stanford. I think it was a culmination of the growth of the program really fulfilled through my success that year. And then, like you said, I ended up wrestling Charlie Falk for fifth and sixth again. I had that tragic loss to him in the quarterfinals. And, you know, like the other five times that I had wrestled him prior to that, I beat him pretty good. And once again, I improved on my finish from the previous year. I guess it's too bad I didn't have a couple more years in the tournament because maybe I would have won a national title. But in fact, the guy who won my weight that year was Jason Ness from Minnesota, who I beat earlier in the year. So, you know, it's a game of inches, I guess they say in football. But, you know, whatever the application is to wrestling, that's what the NCAA wrestling tournament is. You know, I literally lost to Charlie Falk on 1 minute of riding time. Jason Ness, who I beat earlier in the year, won it. And, you know, that's just how things shake out. But, you know, walked away feeling like I did everything I could have done. I wrestled as well as I could have. And, you know, when things shook out, I was in fifth place and a three-time All-American, and really proud of that.
Yeah, well, what a neat, you know, firsthand account of those recaps. That was really fun to listen to. So I appreciate that. So we're visiting with former Shawnee Heights standout, Tanner Gardner. Mr. Gardner, thanks for taking the time to be part of the program. Both your wrestling and your life journey are inspiring. All the best to you.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you making some time to speak today.
This has been Patrick Kelly with 34 Russell, bringing you Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Until next time, thanks for listening.